This episode is sponsored in part by Boost Commerce. Looking to boost conversion rates? Of course you are. With Boost AI Search and Filter, turning more visitors into buyers is as easy as flipping a switch. Imagine a search bar that's actually helpful, where shoppers find what they want in a snap. With Boost, you get advanced product filters so customers can sort by size, price, color, and more. Plus, AI-powered search results mean no more endless scrolling. Need to highlight your best sellers or new arrivals? Boost merchandising tools make that easy. You'll get personalized, frequently bought together, and related items recommendations to help increase cart size. And the best part? No coding required. If you need a hand, Boost support team is always there to help. New customers can use the code KURT, that's K-U-R-T, to get 30% off for their first 6 months. Valid only for first-time customers. Start your 14-day free trial today by heading to the Shopify App Store and downloading Boost AI Search and Filter. Turn browsers into buyers with smarter search. Today on the unofficial Shopify podcast, we're going to get the behind-the-scenes story of Lady Gaga's website moving to a headless Shopify store. How cool is that? One of the biggest artists, musicians in the world running on, you know, cutting-edge Shopify tech that we as Shopify nerds love and appreciate every day. But then to see, you know, a celebrated artist dive into our world, quite exciting. And we have with us today Michael Klim, CTO and co-founder of Commerce UI, a Shopify partner who architected that site, who built it, who is going to share that story with us. Michael, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you for having me. So yeah, hi everyone.
And so, all right, your Shopify agency is Commerce UI. How did you get connected with Lady Gaga's team?
So actually, on that matter, we didn't do much. Like, we were contacted by Michael. So Michael found us directly through Shopify channels. So Michael Parinsky was actually looking for an agency that has an experience building sites using Hydrogen. So he has this idea of LadyGaga.com being headless or Hydrogen, therefore, right from the beginning. So at this point, Commerce UI had already a good track record building Hydrogen-based sites. We won a Build Award from Shopify for one of our projects, Nuramur. So that's how Michael found us, and that's how we started the project.
And Michael Polansky, that's Lady Gaga's fiance and an IT investor. Like, this man, we assume, is technically proficient. And so he made the decision that headless is the way to go?
Yes. So Michael is definitely technically proficient. He is, in fact, Lady Gaga's fiance, and he was very hands-on leader for the entire project. So he approached us with this idea of this site being headless, being Hydrogen-based. We had an initial discussion around this, and after, you know, hearing the requirements, after getting to know what they want to achieve, we felt totally comfortable with this choice and totally agreed to that this is a good way to go.
And, like, surely Lady Gaga had they had a website before. What was it on? How did it work?
So actually there were two sites. This is a pretty common setup for a legacy site. So the editorial site, LadyGaga.com, was a WordPress-based site, and it was purely editorial. The second part was the store itself, living under a subdomain, and that was the online store or liquid-based Shopify store site.
Okay. And yeah, that's not an unusual setup for a lot of stores. Like, we see that with content creators, influencers, incredible musicians, and it's like they want this very creative editorial experience, and so they have that on one CMS, and then also we have a merch store, and that gets put on like a subdomain, you know, like shop.ladygaga.com, and that ends up on a Shopify store. It's not an unusual setup. What was the reasoning, the logic behind saying let's make these one cohesive site and let's make it headless.
So I guess like there are numerous, you know, like more of a standard reasons to go that, you know, consolidating tech stack, making things easier for the operations, and reusing all of those, or actually starting using all of the functionalities of Shopify or more modern platforms. Putting that aside, I guess it's very important in the context of this project to understand that the store of LadyGaga.com is not the most important part of the site. The editorial part of things is the most important part of the site. So this site serves as more as a, you know, digital home for Lady Gaga. It's a directory, go-to directory for the fans where they can get to know more about her music, see all music in one place for the first time, and get to know more of, you know, all of those behind the scenes. And it's always also a platform to communicate almost directly, you know, from Stephanie to their fans. So editorial part played crucial role in LadyGaga.com. And then the store is coming right after. And when we think about it is, so nowadays this distinction between an editorial and e-commerce, either through the tech stack or, you know, through having two different sites for it, is quite artificial. So nowadays we want to actually connect the editorial part, this extended storytelling or rich storytelling with the e-commerce part, with the merchandising. So that was the idea of consolidating everything in one and making it one, I would say, cohesive experience.
All right, you're building for a high-profile client, right? And not just a high-profile client, but the music industry, where things move very quickly. What's that experience like? How does that change things for you?
To some extent, it was a usual project for us. Like, definitely very, very high-profile client. But to a certain extent, it was quite a standard project. We migrating from older solution to a new technological stack to headless, and there's all the things that comes with it. So we felt very comfortable with the stack. We worked with it previously, so both Shopify and Sanity. So from that point of view, nothing new. But at the same time, I would say that, you know, saying that music industry is fast moving industry is even a bit of an understatement. So this is true for many high profile clients from other verticals, also like fashion or product. It's like everyone wants to move fast and, you know, create campaigns that last for a week and then change it for another. But music industry is a completely another level. Like, things change from day to day. As warm up as it sounds, you have to be ready for everything. Like, you have to be truly flexible. There are always multiple stakeholders involved. Multiple, you know, creative ideas floating around. Multiple creatives working constantly on new cool visual assets or new cool creative ideas. It's a usual thing that one of this creative idea just clicks, like either on socials or through other channels. And when this idea clicks, why not to use it everywhere? And since it's based on a, you know, since it's directed toward the fan base, you have to be fast. So when this idea clicks, you have to show it everywhere in newsletters or on your site. So you have to be ready to change everything from day to day. Time zones don't exist. So basically you have to be able to push the content on any hour and any day, and constantly pivoting is just a day to day in the music industry.
Man, those order change emails suck. They're always like, I ordered the wrong size. I meant to change the shipping address. Oops, I was drunk. Instead of making customers email you that stuff, let them fix it themselves with Cleverific. Cleverific is a self-service portal that lets customers edit their orders without bugging you. That means you get fewer headaches, customers get faster fulfillment, and there's fewer returns overall. Everybody wins. Peter Manning, New York, cut their support tickets by 99% with Cleverific. You want in on that? Get 50% off the pro plan, just $49 a month, exclusively for listeners of the Unofficial Shopify podcast. Go to cleverific.com/unofficial and use promo code KURT50. Done. Problem solved. That's Cleverific. 24/7, the way this has been presented is 24/7, 365, you're getting competing change requests, and then you have to keep up with that.
Exactly.
That
exactly.
Sounds nightmarish. From an agency standpoint, oh my gosh.
It may sound like so, it's definitely challenging. But the thing is that we knew this, like we were prepared by Micah and Lydia team for that. And we knew that this is the requirement right from the beginning, so we could prepare ourselves. We could actually build the system that allows us to achieve that.
And so your Shopify's headless solution, hydrogen and oxygen, and then on top of that, that gets paired to a third-party CMS. So you're not using the Shopify theme editor. Instead, yes. In this case, you're using Sanity, correct?
Yes, exactly. So Sanity is overall our CMS of choice in Commerce UI. We very much like its flexibility. When it comes not only to the data structures, but also when it comes to building flows and custom editorial experience. And in the context of this project, that was even more important than it is usually. So going with headless CMS, with flexible headless CMS, is a number one reason for us to go headless, actually. So whenever you have this more advanced editorial needs, and you need something beyond built-in Shopify capabilities, that's where this is like a strong indicator for us to go headless. And that this was the case in this project. So I've mentioned that we built the system around that helps us to actually work in this, you know, hydrogen environment, and that's exactly what we did using the Sanity. So we could build very much bespoke editorial flows that for one allow Lady Gang team to build whatever they want, to reuse even the smallest pieces of data or even smallest pieces of structures across different ideas, but at the same time allows us to reuse them and build something new or what's needed. Reusing the small structures from our previous work. So, I guess having this flexibility, having this more of an external CMS was a big part of the success.
To this day, I still don't understand the advantage of the third party CMS over the traditional theme editor. Like it feels so vague and abstract to me.
Definitely it may. So I guess the number one advantage is that for one, it's very easy to integrate the data from various different resources. So that's one. For two, you can build your own panel or your own editorial experience. So Shopify editorial capabilities are great. They are actually very, very good, but they are very generic. So if you have deeply nested data structures like meta objects inside the meta objects inside the meta objects, it can become very complex in a very short time. So, and you have just one structure, one language, one visualization for all of the cases. That's completely understandable. With the external CMS, you can build something that is understandable by non-technical people and speaks the actual language of the user. So we can make this panel more theirs and therefore make them use it basically. So we historically, we saw a couple of different examples, either completely lack of adversarial experience or abilities to actually change the editorial on the side, or actual editorial experience in place, but so complex, so unpredictable for non-technical users that people weren't actually using it. So that's where those headless CMS came in, where you can actually build much more flexible system.
That makes a lot of sense to me. Is like really the big advantage here is we want to customize the theme editor. That's the thing we can't do.
Yes.
So if we can pair a third-party CMS to the Shopify ecosystem, aha, the third-party CMS, like right. Sanity, which Sanity seems to be like that is the number one choice if you're doing headless these days, which it comes up a lot. That's the big advantage, custom CMS. Okay, got you there. On a site like this, the focus is not necessarily sales. So it isn't traditional e-commerce metrics like conversion rate, right? We're trying to balance art and commerce here, which makes it more interesting. So what's the measure of success here? Engagement?
You can call it engagement. But I guess if we call it engagement, many people that are listening to us may think, okay, there is like a certain characteristic, like there is a engagement score somewhere. And there isn't. Like, it's very, very natural. So I guess this site wasn't like the main goal wasn't, to increase the conversion rates, to increase the some other characteristics. So this site is very personal project for Stephanie, and it's dedicated towards the fans. And I can say that both Stephanie and Micah, they have like this really good sense of what their fans want and what they expect and how they what they like actually. So a lot of decisions is based on hunch or just on this ability to understand their fan base. And it works out. I had this discussion about the site that some of the features are completely unreasonable. The amount of work they took may not have a very good, ROI, but it actually has. This is a thing about the site. We get the instant feedback about any feature we introduce to the site. Like the moment we put it on the production, thousands of people actually trying it out and sharing their thoughts on, Reddit, Twitter, whenever. And we instantly know if it clicked or not. And for the most of time, it's totally clicking.
It is. Yeah, it's a different thing when there's like an entire active subreddit devoted to and watching for changes instantaneously the site you're working on. I have not had this experience. I've talked to a few people. They were always big musicians. Yeah. And they had this experience and they're like, oh, it's different. It changes it you. When did this site go live?
Almost a month ago, actually. So,
Which would be what date?
It was over a month. It was 27th of January.
What's that experience like launching this thing?
It was quite a different adrenaline rush. Like every release, is something different. So, and it's always a bit, chaotic or nervous time, but this was something entirely different. Like we were expecting a huge spike in traffic just before the release, like 1 week before. We actually released this countdown page. So every day on a certain hour, the graphic changed on the site. So every day there was a different graphic. So the second it changed, once again, Twitter, Reddit, it was blowing up. Like everyone was writing, okay, what does it mean? How cool it looks, or et cetera, et cetera. And that's where we actually felt like, okay, many people are watching us and very closely. So it has to be done. So we are very used to launching the site on a, you know, on a specific date. But in this case, it had to be launched on a specific, you know, minute or so. So it was created with all other marketing campaigns with setting up all of the banners and in traditional media and so on. So we had to be ready on an almost exact second, and we knew that thousands of people would be watching us.
Are your upsells stuck in the Stone Age? Your store runs on data, so why aren't your upsells? Outdated upsell apps make you guess, test, and tweak manually. That's costing you money. Zipify one-click upsell changes everything. Its AI engine automates upsells, analyzing every cart in real time to offer the highest converting product. No guesswork, no setup, just results. Over 10,000 Shopify stores trust OCU, and it's already generated nearly $1 billion in extra revenue. So flip the switch and let AI handle your upsells. Try Zipify one-click upsell free for 30 days at zipify.com/Kurt. That's zipify.com/KURT. Don't leave money on the table. Start AI-powered upselling today. On the, you know, the site's wild. It's got just all kinds of incredible technical features clicking through it. I mean, it is the experience I would expect. It's extremely visual. It's snappy. It feels sophisticated and different. And I love it. What are the features that you're most proud of? You know, what's the stuff that, like, it sounds like they challenged you to build some different things or to build things differently than you may have normally, mm-hmm. because this is about engagement and storytelling. What are those mm-hmm. features?
There are a couple of them that I really like. So for one, the mood experience. So the mood experience is this kind of an unreasonable feature I did talk about. So the mood feature is whenever you go to collection page, to PLP, and there is a certain era or certain music release, you can turn on the mood, which basically changes the site, changes its background to corresponds to the exact music release vibe, let's call it.
That's a cool one. You know, the worst part is we have, I mean, not as nice as yours, but we've built things like that for clients. And they're like, nah, because they're not focused on storytelling, right? They're like, well, you know, I don't know if that'll help. And then never launch it. Or even just like, hey, let's just switch between light and dark mode, guys. And like, we get pushback on that too.
Exactly. And whenever you think about, you know, ROI of something like that, the answer will always be don't do it. But if you want like to go beyond it, that's where, you know, the magic happens basically. So, but the thing about it, we not only changing the background itself, there are a couple of UI elements that we are changing. It was to some extent changing the technological feature. But if you look closely, it just feels natural. But if you look closely, all of the pictures of the items are also changing to correspond to the mood. So, you know, for one, it's quite challenging technologically. For two, it's quite challenging operationally. So you can see the level of, you know, devotion to that mindset, basically. Yeah.
One of my favorite little Easter egg on this site is the pagination on a collection. It uses a load more button, but every time there's lyrics at the end of the collection grid, and every time you click load more, the little line of lyric changes to a different song. I think that's just a small one. I love those little Easter eggs. They're so fun. All right, give me one more.
One more. 3D gallery. I have to go with it. 3D gallery on a
3D
music.
Gallery. Where do I find that on the site?
So just go to music. You can go from homepage in the header. Just go to the music. We have this music showcase. So this should resemble, you know, going through the vinyls. And if you go and you can see the effect there. So if you swipe it. Yes, exactly. You can see the shadows overlapping different elements.
It makes it feel very physical.
It is, and that was the actual idea that you know, you go through the collection of your vinyls and you had this feel of it. So I coded it myself, so that's why I had to mention it. I like it very much. Quite proud of it. So
what's funny is like I have a CRO checklist I use that's like, this is our best practices. And it, you know, it's all built around conversion rate. And so like there's so many things. Like if I did an audit of this side, I'd be like, well, here's the 20 things that our best practices say you would change. And of course, that's absurd, you know, to say that on a like a creative, very branded experience like this. Like it would ruin the mood and the purpose of it to make it like this very conversion focused thing. And yet I'm sure this does phenomenal sales, because this, like, that's the power of brand storytelling. And more importantly, knowing your audience. Like that, you know, if I'm running an e-commerce store, it may be tough to relate to, you know, Lady Gaga's experience running a Shopify store. But I think, like, for me, that takeaway is know your audience. Like over and over, you're like, the reason it looks the way it does or operates the way it does is because they know what their fans expect and want from them. And this is representative of that. So, Lon, that know your audience one, would you agree with that takeaway?
I totally agree. I totally agree. And I guess, you know, right after we launched the site, already some of the items were gone after, like, they were sold after a couple of minutes. So I guess you can call it a success. And of course, Lady Gaga example is quite unique to some extent, but definitely know your audience, and what works for everyone doesn't have to work for you. And sometimes being different, it's what makes the success.
For sure. I think if like creativity is a cornerstone of your brand, of your, you know, the tone and personality, then you probably want to avoid, you know, taking a conversion first approach for 100% of everything. You know, the Lady Gaga site, still very easy to use, still quite intuitive. It just doesn't follow best practices. You know, we're doing, yes, a little more exploration and a little more novelty. Do you think there's any other takeaways that like everyday Shopify brands may have about this site?
I was thinking about this kind of page building experience, like, you know, building every page out of the sections. I guess everyone is very much used to it at this point. So, but with Lady Gaga, there's something different. We're going actually outside of this page building experience and building bespoke features for certain campaigns, or for certain releases. My takeaway for this would be to actually think about, you know, actually going outside this page building experience, making something crazy, adding this kind of an Easter egg. Going outside of a system, doing something non-standard, and of course it depends, but it can bring great results.
And the like, and you said you had to move fast on this and stay, yes, flexible. How fast did you do this?
So the entire project took something around, you know, 5 to 6 months. So that's I guess this is a pretty normal time frame for projects as such. But at the same time, we pivoted the project a couple of times during that development. To give you the sense of the speed, after the release, so we are 1 month after, we rebuilded the homepage already 4 times, and it wasn't pre-planned. Like every new version of the homepage was created out of the idea in a couple of days and released as is. So this is the kind of speed you have to do.
It's quite incredible what you've done here collectively as a team. I think my takeaway here is we can be so focused on optimizing for one metric when instead, we could optimize for the experience, in which case, really, what we're optimizing for is being unforgettable. And that's what this has done. And that's what I love about it. So, I mean, congrats. Agree. Phenomenal job.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And if we wanted to learn more about you and your services, where would we go?
Just visit our site, commerceui.com. commerce-ui.com.
Beautiful. Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.